Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Yashodanandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Amuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Kunja Vihari Jayo Jayo Ratva Madhava Jayo Kunja Vihari Om Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Totarasata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Chaya Om Vishnu Pat Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Totarasata Shishima Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Nanta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Guru Bhakti Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sri Amakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardham Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Sri Jagannath Puri Purukshottama Kshetra Dham Ki Ganga Maya Ki Yamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की समवेत वक्ता वृंद की नितय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद. नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयान्मुदीरयेत्. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 15. धर्मार्थम् अपि नेहेता यात्रार्थम् भादनो धनम् अनिहानिहमानस्य महाहेरिव वृत्तिदा. धर्मार्थम् अपि नेहेता यात्रार्थम् भाधनो धनम् अनिहानिहमानस्य महाहेरिव वृत्तिधा. धर्मार्थम् अपि नेहेता यात्रार्थम् बधनो धनम् अनिहानिहमानस्य महाहेरिव वृत्तिधा. धर्मार्थम् अपि नेहेता यात्रार्थम् बधनो धनम् अनिहानिहमानस्य महाहेरिव वृत्तिधा. dharma artham, in religion or economic development, api, indeed, na, not, iheta, should try to obtain, yatra artham, just to maintain the body and soul together. Va, either adhanaha, one who has no wealth, dhanam, money, aniha, the desirelessness, aniha manasya, of a person who does not endeavor even to earn his livelihood. Maha Ahe, the great serpent known as the python. Iva, like Briti Da, which obtains its livelihood without endeavor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together, or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Purport. Human life is simply meant for developing Krishna consciousness. One need not even try to earn a livelihood to maintain body and soul together. This is illustrated here by the example of the great python, which lies in one place, never going here and there to earn a livelihood to maintain itself, and yet is maintained by the grace of the Lord. As advised by Narada Muni, Bhagavatam 1.5.18, Tasyai Vaheta Prayateta Kavida, one should simply endeavor to increase his Krishna consciousness. One should not desire to do anything else, even to earn his livelihood. There are many, many examples of this attitude. Madhavendra Puri, for instance, would never go to anyone to ask for food. Shukadeva Goswami has also said, Kasmat Vajanti Kavayo Dana Durma Dandam. Why should one approach a person who is blind with wealth? Rather, one should depend on Krishna, and he will give everything. All the members of our Krishna consciousness movement, whether they be grihastas or sannyasis, should try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement with determination, and Krishna will supply all necessities. The process of Ajagara Vritti, the means of livelihood of a python, is very much appreciated in this regard. Even though one may be very poor, he should simply try to advance in Krishna consciousness and not endeavor to earn his livelihood. Dharmartan apineketa yathartan bhadano dhanam Aniha niha manasya mahaher iva vrittida. Even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together, or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, One who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakchuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girin Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatyade Satarine Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So good morning everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam. So again and again, the Srimad Bhagavatam is always stressing the purpose of human life. And it's very clear in that point that human life is meant to rise your consciousness to the point of Krishna consciousness. And everything else is secondary. It's just only maybe a mean, but never an end. So the only end is the desired goal, is to develop Krishna consciousness. And therefore there are different paths for that. And in this verse, is highlighting how even if one is poor, it doesn't mean that then all your energy should go to how to improve your economical or financial condition. Because then the purpose of human life will be lost. And also, because the material world is meant in such a way that there is enough for everyone as far as one has that the understanding that there is. Bhanata Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a very short purport on this verse. And he said, a poor person should not desire money for maintaining his body. He should not strive for wealth. For one who does not desire the condition of being nishkama or not acting produces his means of livelihood. So Bhagavad Gita also, the Bhagavad Gita teaches to act, of course, but without attachment, without desire, just for the sake of duty, because everyone within society has different duties. So the whole idea is that you don't perform your duty just because I want to earn money, but because I have to do something. I have to act, and we qualify for karma. Okay. Karmani eva adhikaraste. So we have our qualification is to act as far as we have still some desires, but with understanding that we just follow our duty and then providence will bring whatever we need. Therefore, within the Varna Ashram, people was engaged according to their propensities, so they can do something meaningful to contribute, and it wasn't the duties given according to salary. I mean, or you need more, so you need to become a doctor because a doctor have a better salary. So no, it's just according to your propensity, because the most important is that you perform a role in society, so it will work, but not focus much in earning money. That will come for another factors. According to scripture, we cannot make so many changes. By karma, so we are born with certain facilities, and it won't change so much. We cannot change our destiny, no? Our palm will follow us wherever we go. So even if we try to improve our condition of life, going to another country or another place, or like the followers of the Vedas, they want to go to the heavenly planet, still your karma or your destiny is following you. So there is not much scope to change your situation. So we know there are people from one country that they are poor and they go to another country to improve their quality of life, but after a while they find themselves in the same situation, either with money but with so many other problems, or also without enough money. I just was talking to one nice person from Mexico. He was telling me that he came here to the U.S. to earn more money, but after a while he found himself working and working and working and never enough. But the problem is that when he goes to visit his family, everyone thinks that he, because he lives here, he has a lot of money. He's just trying to explain, no, it's the same. I'm just working. I'm working a lot and I don't have enough. So his situation, he said, didn't change much. And Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that explains this. It's a verse also spoken by Narada Muni. Here also Narada Muni is speaking. So, tasyai bhajeto prayateta kovido nalabhyateyat paramatan upariadat. Kovido means, or kovida, means one who is philosophically inclined. So one who can see the situation, analyze the context. That kind of people, nalabhyateyat brahmatan upariadat. No, there is not need to make an effort to go up, trying to improve your situation. Why not? Because even if you, the Bhagavatam explained, even if you endeavor for happiness, he said, talab vyate dukavat anyata sukam. Happiness and distress will come anyway. Even if you try to look for a happy situation, it's okay. When you get the situation, you may say, it's because I make efforts. But what about when a distressful situation comes? Do you make any effort? Do you work for having a bad situation? No. So that the reasoning of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time, we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. So no, nobody desires misery, but misery is coming. So it's just like Isopanishad. In this Isopanishad, we learn that tena tyaktena bunjita, that everything pertains to the Lord, but we already have a quota for us. But that quota brings happiness and distress. So we have our quota. So the idea is that instead of putting all your energy in trying to counteract distress and bring about happiness, just endeavor for self-realization. Because even if we obtain all the happiness of the world, it won't be enough. No? That's the realization of Arjuna. Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi Prapashyami, he in text 2a explained that even a kingdom, like heavenly planets, won't bring me any happiness. No, my senses are drying. It's practically impossible to enjoy happiness without having suffering. It's like it's a coin of two faces. So when you get happiness, you have to accept also distress. So that's the way the nature of the material world is. So therefore, even if one has the chance to go to the topmost planet, there will be still suffering. Because still there is fear of losing that position. So even if here in our planet, which is considered a middle planet, in which you have, it's not heavenly, but it's not hell, so you have a between. Even if we try to go to the a place where it's famous for being a wonderful place where people have good salary, etc., and the weather is nice, even though if we go to that place, we will find that the people living there are trying to go to another place. And they are experiencing misery there. So this is called Nimitta Viparitani. In Bhagavad Gita, Nimitta Viparitani means that you are expecting some happiness, but then you get the opposite. That is the nature. So we have many experiences of doing planning vacations, and then everything comes very different in the way we plan it. Also, in TV, all the propaganda, the marketing, always look one way, but when you obtain or buy the things, it's very different. Especially children have that realization. When they buy something and they see it either in the internet, and they say, I want this puppy. Then they buy it and they get despondent. The same happens in relationships. We may say, oh, with this person I will be really happy. I have to establish a relationship. And then we establish a relationship and we realize that we have a picture of that person that was completely an imagination. And then we come to the reality that this person is not so nice as I thought it was. And deception again. Therefore, even relationships are, according to Vedas, are not based on likes and dislikes of trying to pursue happiness. You don't really go to or change your ashram or try to get friendship just for the sake of happiness, because it won't come. It's meant for duty. If we see the Vedas, there are ceremony for everything to establish a sense of duty. Even if you want to become a father, it's not just to be happy. It's just you will acquire some responsibilities. And the happiness will come by following the duty, the real. If there will be any satisfaction, will come because you are following your duty and pleasing the one who is giving those duties. No? The duties are given by whom? Sorry? Yeah, the Vedas. The Vedas are given prescribed duties, and Krishna is explaining the Vedas. The Vedas come from Krishna. So the pleasure will come by following the duty. Therefore, in the while you are pursuing your duty, you will find sometimes happy situation that will be favorable, and sometimes situation that won't be favorable. But because you have a sense of duty, you have the capacity to carry on with that duty, and that capacity is what will bring some sense of fulfillment, not just being infatuated by the happiness of one situation and then next time be completely dejected or despondent, because and then I don't want to do more duty, because then we are again in chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, no? Arjuna saying, my duty is not nice to be it's not nice to perform my duty. I want to perform another duty. I don't want to be a soldier now. So then, because at that point Arjuna was being guided by happiness and distress in terms of what he should do, and not so Krishna speak transcendental knowledge to at least put Arjuna in the level of duty first, so he can then advance the level of karma yoga, in which Arjuna understood that there was no question of enjoying or getting distressed in the battlefield. It was about following his duty as a kshatriya first. Then Krishna is rising the level of commitment. But always, it comes from the level of duty. So therefore, the idea is not that one give up his own all duties and then wait like the python for the food to come. No, that's not the whole idea. That you perform a duty, but you are not you are not hankering for that, for the food, where it will come the food, etc. You just do your duty, and then wherever else, Krishna will provide. There are some great souls that qualify for, they are completely nishkama, and like pure devotees, so they don't need to follow any duty, but they follow a higher duty, which means to preach. So they will be still following duties, and in the pursuit of preaching, again, they have to find themselves in happy situations and distressful situations. Sometimes people glorify them, and sometimes people criticize them. But someone who has surrendered to the Lord shouldn't take that seriously. He just carry out with his duty. So everyone has a duty. And duty, again, like if we read chapter 2 of Bhagavatam, we know that duty is not for anything else but for liberation. No? Dharmasya hi apavargasya. Apavarga. It's liberation. So there is some examples in the scriptures of person whose duty was just to glorify the Lord, and still they were getting enough food. So do you know any example of devotees who gave up everything for the sake of the Lord, but still they were performing the duty to glorify the Lord, but they weren't doing any endeavor to gain money, but still they were being fed every day. Narada Muni, he's speaking this. Yes. So he's not saying this out of like something pure theory, and then going and then said to Vyasa, "I'm sorry, I have to work. I'll come back." No, he's just engaged in preaching all over, traveling, wandering everywhere, and he always have enough a leaf to keep his vina and traveling, covering the cost of traveling. But there are other examples. Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are also. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, most of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they have the specific duty within society. But there were also some devotees who were householder, and they didn't work. Do you know who is? Shivas Thakur. Yes, he was holding the kirtans for Lord Chaitanya at his house, but he never worked. But he had everything. He was maintaining a whole family. It's a mystery. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, there is a story in which Lord Chaitanya, he was wondering, so how Srivast Thakur is doing for livelihood. So Srivast Thakur, he's an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he also is part of the Panchatattva, and he happens to be also Narada Muni. So therefore, we are in line. So the way that Srivast Thakur was pleasing the Lord, his duty, because again, everyone has a duty, was to perform Sankirtan. Just only Sankirtan and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. That way he was pleasing Samsidhir Haritoshanam. It was the perfection of his duty. And he was always displaying, of course, the best etiquette. And the Lord Chaitanya, he will reveal himself in the house of Srivast Thakur as the Supreme Lord. And this is the pastime in which he revealed himself as the Supreme Lord. So one day, in a solitary place, the Lord asked Srivast about his household affairs. The Lord asked, "I see that you do not go anywhere. So how then do you maintain your family, and how will you maintain them?" It's a fair question. So Srivast replied, "Oh Lord, I tell you that I don't like to go anywhere." So here is Srivast Thakur, having a family, everything is being supplied, and Lord Chaitanya don't see him working. So he's asking, "So how are you getting money or food?" He said, I don't like to go anywhere. So basically, I don't have a job. So the Lord then said, "You have a large family. How will you maintain them all?" Srivast said, "One will somehow or other receive whatever he says time to receive." So this is in line with this verse. He said, anyway, whatever it is time to for me to come will come anyway, even if I work, if I don't work. So then Lord Chaitanya continued. He said, "Then you should take sannyas." "Yes." And Srivast replied, "I can't do that." So first he said, I don't want to go anywhere to work. And then he said, okay, then if you're not working, you don't qualify to maintain a family. So you're not like, it's not proper for a grihastha, like to be in the grihastha ashram, you don't work. So then better you take sannyas. Like he said, no, but I don't want to take sannyas. I can't do that. So then Lord Chaitanya asks, "So how then you will maintain your family? I don't understand what you are saying. Lord Chaitanya continues, nowadays, if one does not go out and bring anything, nothing will come. Do you agree? Especially nowadays. Lord Chaitanya is saying 500 years ago, but now, especially here in America, like if you don't go anywhere, except if you're living in the temple, what will happen? Who may have that consciousness of Srivastakur? Like, if you don't go anywhere, nothing will come. So tell me, if nothing comes to your door, what will you do? So suppose, Srivastakur, that now, okay, you are here, you don't go out, and suppose that nothing comes. So then what can you do? Srivastakur, here he made a very interesting answer. So the way Srivastakur answered, so the question was, if nothing comes to your door, what will you do? And the answer of Srivastakur was three claps. He said, one, two, three. This is the secret, no? One, two, three. This is the secret. And Lord Chaitanya said, what? What is the meaning of one, two, three? What do you clap? So Srivast replied, this is my firm conviction. If I do not receive food for 3 days, then I'll tell you the truth. I will tie a pot to my neck and drown myself in the Ganges. As soon as the son of Sachi heard Srivast's words, he roared loudly and stood up. So Lord Chaitanya was amazed at the answer. And then the Lord said, what do you say, Pandit Srivast? You will starve for want of food. And then Lord Chaitanya said, even if Lakshmi has to beg, your household will not be afflicted by poverty. O Srivast, have you forgotten what I personally said in the Bhagavad Gita? And here, Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as Krishna. He said, have you forgotten? And then, there is a famous verse of Bhagavad Gita that is confirming also the verse in this in the line of Narada Muni, Bhagavatam. It's Ananias. We have that verse in our kitchen. It's one of the Bhagavad Gita verses. Ananias chintayatumam yejana pariupasate tesham nitya vyuktanam yoga kshemam bahamyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So I personally carry on my head the needs of any person who thinks of me without deviation. All perfection will automatically come to one who thinks of me but does not go to anyone's door. Even though religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation automatically come to my servants, they do not look at them or accept them. So my Sudarshan chakra always protects my devotees. Even during the final dissolution, they are not destroyed. I personally protect and maintain anyone who remembers even my servant. The servant of my servant is most dear to me. Such a person easily attains me without a doubt. How can my servant be in anxiety for food when I am there to maintain him in all respects? O Srivast, you just sit happily at home. Everything will come to your doorstep. So that way, so Lord Chaitanya confirmed that it was a and glorifying the firm faith of Shiva's Thakur, which he also defines as Vishwasa Kahi Sudrida Nishchaya, no Shraddha Sabde, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritahaya. That firm fame means the firm conviction that by serving Krishna, automatically all other subsidiary activities will be fulfilled, no? Just by discharging service. And Srila Prabhupada, in the same mood of Lord Chaitanya and Srivast Thakur, he gave the example of in preaching. And that's why he always was depending on Krishna, because he didn't have anything secure. Like when he came to America, he didn't have anything except the Srimad Bhagavatam that he was selling. But he had the firm conviction that he will open a great society, you know, and open temples all over the world. But because he had firm faith that Krishna will supply because he for his service. And Srila Prabhupada said at the end of his purport, all the members of our Krishna consciousness movement, whether they be grihastas or sannyasis, should try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement with determination, and Krishna will supply all necessities. The process of Ajagara Vritti, the means of livelihood of a python, is very much appreciated in this regard. Even though one may be very poor, he should simply try to advance in Krishna consciousness and not endeavor to earn his livelihood. So that's the advice of our Acharya. So for devotees, they have different karmas, different birth, different situation. So one can try to understand his own quota. And you can see that what is not your quota when you are endeavoring more than necessary, when your endeavors are taken completely out from Krishna consciousness. You cannot do anything for Krishna because you are so much engaged in trying to improve your material condition. And so it's a question of just understanding, okay, this is my karma, and be satisfied with what you have and be completely insatisfied in terms of a spiritual life. Be completely insatisfied in terms of your spiritual quota. You say, oh, this is not enough. I should endeavor more to become a better practitioner, a better lover of God. Instead of doing the opposite, you know, one may be very satisfied with, oh, I'm okay. I do my prayers, have my morning prayers, etc. I'm very happy with that. But I'm not satisfied because I don't have enough of money. I have only one house. I need two, three cars at least. So there are devotees who already have that because they were born in a family with money, or they were given intelligence. And by their karma, they don't do much endeavor for that, but they have already. But then if another practitioner tries to have the other quota, then he will have to, or she will have to work very, very hard in order to obtain the same that the other person is obtaining without any effort. So that's why better you follow your own duty and understand. Especially if you the city is very complicated, but if you according to Krishna's plan, the Vedic society is more like an agricultural society. Even if you're poor, you always have food because you own something. Here, if you live in the city, you own anything, because even if you buy an apartment you cannot grow food there. So you are forced to do many other things. And so it's like not having anything. It's just like having a little prison that you have, and then you have to do work. You are forced to work. Otherwise, you won't eat. But if you have land in a nice place, then you can work your own land and produce something. So that's the plan. So in that kind of society, if you're poor, rich, it doesn't matter much in terms of everyone will be able to live. No, there won't be people like starving and dying because it's, someone will give you also food. Everyone is God conscious. They understand, deal with nature in a harmonic way. And so I have seen devotees who live very simple. They don't have much money, but they have a land. At least they grow some tomatoes there, something. And they may not have a big salary, but they live very well, like a good quality of life, because they have Krishna in the center. And then they offer prasadam every day, and prasadam always tastes good, especially when it's simple and when you are hungry. Yes, like the other day, we were glorifying a chapati because we were very hungry. I missed lunch and I came late, and then there was chapati. And chapati especially look really, really tasty when you are hungry, and it has the potency of satisfying yourself. So, and Igor was having the same experience, eating a chapati. So there's no need of big arrangements. No. And I remember once I was traveling in Paraguay, and I went to a small neighborhood, a small village. And I had some books, and I was with Doti. And I didn't know where to sleep at night. And so one person asked me, where are you going to sleep? And I say, I don't know, I will check at night. And they say, okay, wait a minute. So it was a lady. So she called her husband and she said, there is a Hare Krishna here. Can he come to our house? And the husband said, yes, I have many questions. And so they invite me to go. And I was under the impression that they will have a house as we know, like what is a house, like with different rooms, etc. Especially because they were offering the house. So I was expecting, oh, these people, they may have facilities, like they are open to get their house. So she only told me, come to these others at 7 p.m., So I distributed books, and then I went by 7, and I didn't see any house there. I only see a basketball field, and then there was a small room there. But that was the number. So where is the house? So I clapped, and then a man came with his wife, and they told me, ah, nice, come. Hare Krishna. So they knew the devotees because they met the devotees in Harinam before for the first time. So they have some idea. And they said, welcome to our house. And I was looking, where is the house? And they pointed to the room. And they said, we live here, very simple. And it was only a small room. And they're very clean. And then they have a kind of bathroom, but to take shower, you have to use buckets. And they said, I'm here, and this is your mattress. So they gave me a mattress, and they said, we don't sleep here because it's very small. We sleep in the basketball field. Because we actually, we take care of the basketball field, and then we receive the house for free, so we can live here while we take care of the place. And so I was lying and looking at the stars, very peaceful, and these people, they were very simple, they were very happy living there. And then it contrasts with some people who are very rich, And they, you cannot even ring the bell to the house because they have many like security. Like even when you are approaching, the dog start barking and it's like very difficult to enter, and they have a big, big house. But they are very poor because they don't have generosity, for instance. So there are people who accept their quota, and they are poor, but they weren't really endeavoring to become millionaire, anything like that. They were just endeavoring to be, they have good models, not they knew about hospitality, and that's real wealth in that sense. So it's not that this verse is saying, oh, if your people, poor people should live a miserable life because they deserve it. No, the point is that, no, if you are poor, is the idea is that don't waste your time trying to change your karma, even if you may not change it, but you can certainly change your karma by practicing devotional service. By practicing devotional service, you always will have food, nothing you will miss, even if you are poor. Krishna will bring you everything you need. So instead of doing endeavor like leaving your family, then having a miserable life, you cannot even see your family working and working and working, and then always the same situation. It's just better, chant Hare Krishna, practice devotional service, learn to offer food, to perform yagya, sankirtan yagya, and do what is needful, but not beyond your capacity. And then Krishna will provide whatever you need. So is there any question?
The principle that you explain on of, you know, accepting one quota and be satisfied and with what Krishna is provide, be grateful and being able to not being deviated from the purpose of life, which is, you know, to become Krishna conscious. That's very clear. I was just trying to understand the, you know, that advice that Prabhupada, that instruction that Prabhupada gave in terms of you don't no need to earn a livelihood. You just have to focus on preaching Krishna consciousness. And try to understand how that practically apply or how it translates, you know, to our society, devotee society. Like the example that you put of this couple, they're still earning a livelihood. They were, yes, they were just poor, and they were satisfied with the simple work that they have. And but you know, you're still performing, you're still earning a livelihood.
Yes.
And and in terms of devotees, you know, I mean, you gave the example of Shivas Thakur, which we can look up to, but if you're not in that level to imitate, you know, imagine the havoc that will be of neglecting, you know, or not providing, or, you know, just trying to translate it into, in, or understand how that becomes, you know, doable. Or how practical it is, you know, because you can see devotees sometimes becoming anxious about, you know, being able to provide properly for their families, you know, like that. And you can criticize, you know, just pull out, hey, Prabhu, you know, this is what Prabhupada said, You know, you don't have to endeavor for your livelihood. Your quota will come regardless. So, you know, how, you know, I haven't properly made the question, but, you know, it's not an easy thing to actually just like understand, you know. I mean, maybe that there's different levels, you know, and this is more instructions when you come to the level of more self-realized, that you know, your faith in Krishna's protection and maintenance is on the level of, you know, pure devotional service, that, you know, you that just that Srivastakur, or but what happened when you are down there, you know, and you're not yet, you know, in that level of consciousness?
Yeah, every individual is different. The principle is that, again, that human life is meant for improving, especially your Krishna consciousness. So then, when we apply this the concept, we, I guess, Bhagavatam is assuming that we have common sense. So we are not going to, oh, like the example of Srivastakur, we are admiring him because it's showing an extreme case of faith. No, this is called like Har Bhakti, in the sense like for instance, Raghunath Das Goswami also practiced Har Bhakti. No, he was just eating even the food that the cows were eating. No? But you always can admire the principles in this example. So translated to our daily life, we have the example of our acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for instance, that everyone can, even devotees cannot, I mean, one may say, I cannot imitate Bhaktivinoda Thakur because I cannot work as hard as he was working. So we have the other extreme, we can say. Here is a devotee who is working, and he is sleeping, he has a very small quota of sleeping, and it's also gaining a salary, but have the same quality of faith as Srivastakur, because he's just performing a duty in society mainly. And so there, Srila Prabhupada also was working, and he was doing endeavor in that direction, but always with the goal of Krishna consciousness. And at the point when his endeavor didn't work anymore, he just moved to another ashram and continued with his preaching. And then we have so many examples of family in our society who are having a balanced life, you know, or practicing devotional service and having enough. But again, it's because of their different karma, no? And understanding of the scriptures. So a misunderstanding will be other thing, that we will use a scripture to justify our laziness. For instance, a grihastha may quote these verses to his wife, no? And said, "Don't worry, I'm while eating popcorn," no? and say, Don't worry, Krishna will provide. But perhaps it's not faith what is there. What is there is, I don't want to really work anything, and I'm tired of working. But then his time is not being engaged in Krishna consciousness, really. Or is engaged in so-called Krishna consciousness just to avoid working. So there are examples also like that. And you can judge by how they end up, no? Like broken relationship, like so there is no harmony. In the case of Srivastakur, he was really putting together a family. So at least you can do that. So you have to, of course, you have to work. But again, the idea is the same, that even if you work, you just do it because it's your duty. You have to do it anyway. It's not like even if you receive like millions of dollars, then you don't work. You may also still work, and if that is your duty, your qualification. Because even if you get millions of dollars, you still don't qualify to just sit and chant. It's not that Because you receive money, then you qualify for preaching also. Oh, I have a lot of money, I don't need to work, I will preach. No, if you don't have the adhikara, you will do other things. So even though if you have all the means, still you have to work, because it's the way you will be purified, perform, balanced, or engage your mind. But again, the idea is not that you just work for maintaining your life. You work because devotees also have to give example, and you have to do something. Even if you don't have a salary, you have to work just to maintain your body, not to clean your body. So we always will be performing work. And again, I think when I'm saying this, I'm not assuming also it's good that you bring that, but I'm not saying in the mood like, hey, give up your job, like that. Of course not. One should understand with common sense, and then what the scripture said is very relevant. But if we just to try to do exactly what Srivastava Thakur did, or like the python, no? We had the lion on Loyola Park, and say, oh, the scripture are lying. I'm starving. No, you have to qualify for that. Therefore, we have Bhagavad Gita before Bhagavatam. No? Because Bhagavad Gita, we understand that we have to perform our duty according to our varna ashram. At least we are in a platform of nishkama, without any desire. And you cannot bring a family with you like this. Even if you have a realization, you cannot put your family on that realization. So, but anyway.
Yeah, even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in the beginning chapters, he says, you know, you have to work.
Yes.
You have to work. You can't, just as you say, you can't stop working at any time. You have to work. But then at the end, he says, abandon all that stuff and just surrender to me. So that, there's a whole, you know, it's not that one negates the other, but, you know, it looks like, you know, the way I understand it, one leads to that point, you know, work and sacrifice have to be done. But then, you know, that is supposed to bring you, just like you say, Dharmasya hi apavargasya, to the stage of complete surrender to Krishna.
Yes, and surrender for Arjuna, when Krishna said sarva dharma paritya, didn't mean that he has to stop being a kshatriya at the point. It means that now if he's a kshatriya, he's doing for Krishna, everything for Krishna. So if Krishna said don't fight, then he won't fight. Krishna said fight. But the performance of dharma is like Arjuna wasn't fighting for a kingdom, finally. He was fighting for Krishna. So again, the devotee, when they are working, of course they use the common sense to working and get a good job, etc. But finally they are working because it's part of the duty as a grihastha, for instance. You just have to do that. There's no way to avoid it. At least you are Srivastava, and you have to show an example. But that's not the advice of the scripture, that keep up your job. It's just, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he's saying, preach. Doesn't matter if you're Grihastha. Don't wait to become a sannyas to preach, or don't wait to become a millionaire to preach. Even if you are poor, just you can do something, like invite people to your little house and do some preaching. That will be your primary activity. And then also you have to work, etc. But it's not that will disqualify you, like being poor will disqualify you from preaching. Because you have to put all your energy and counteract that situation. No, you can be very, very satisfied just if you bring devotional service in that environment. And Jitendra Prabhu?
I I was remembering an example of devotees. It could have been Srila Prabhupada. They're traveling through the airports, you know. So they're, let's say they're in New York and they go to London, and then they see a sign, you know, in London, come to New York and enjoy, and then, you know, go to Las Vegas or Rome or Paris, you know. So they're always saying, well, there's enjoyment here, you know. So it's a network of illusions. Krishna Smarnam, he went to Paris, and then he went to the temple, and the temple president said, well, would you like to go to see the Eiffel Tower or Notre Dame Cathedral? And he says, no, I'll just stay here at the temple and, you know, help cut up vegetables or something, you know. So, you know, he was satisfied, you know. You know, that's like a hoitakiya priyata, you know. And then, you know, they also say thinking is the best way to travel. So, you know, wherever you go, there you are, you know. So you should try to become satisfied, you know, in your service, you know. But those are a few things that came to mind.
Thank you. Nice. Okay. So just to close and make clear, I want to make sure we understand that, for instance, the devotees, if someone goes to live in the temple, for example, it's not that person give up his duties and went to, like, for example, we have young devotees here. You also have other duties. You just change your occupation only. So nobody is giving up duty, and still the devotees fulfill their so many other duties regarding relationship they have with parents also. They will be try to be kind. It's not like they become like hermits and forget about everything. And so even that's the way Srila Prabhupada made the temples. He didn't make the temples as hermits in which you just meditate, but there are so many activities that the devotees have there. So that concept always of endeavoring for Krishna consciousness there, and at the same time you are, because you are performing your duty, you are learning that by I just perform my duty and I have everything that I need. So the same will happen even if you are a grihastha, just perform your duty and Krishna will provide. Hopefully. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granta Rash Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.